Why did you let so much stuff happen to me today? What do you mean? Well, I woke up late. Yes. My car wouldn't start. Took forever to start. Okay. At lunch, they made my sandwich wrong. I had to wait. On the way home, my phone went dead. Just I picked up the call. All right. And to tip it all off, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in my foot massage and relax, but it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that? God says, well, let me see. The death angel was at your bed this morning, and I had to send one of the angels to battle him for you. Your life. I let you sleep, though, through that. Oh, I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on your route that might have hit you if you were on the road. I'm so ashamed. The first person who made your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they had. I knew you wouldn't be able to work, and you'd get sick, and you'd miss a week of work. Okay. Oh, your phone went dead because the person that was calling you was going to give a false witness about what you said on the call. I didn't even let you talk to them so you would be covered. I see, God. Oh, and the foot massage, it had a short in it. It was going to throw out all the power in your house tonight. I didn't want you to be in the dark. I'm sorry, God. Don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me in all things, the good and the bad. Amen. I will trust you, Lord. And don't doubt that my plan for your days is always better than your plan. I won't, God. And let me just tell you, God, thank you for everything today. You're welcome, child. It was just another day being your God. And I love looking after my children. Amen. And I know that some days you look back and say, had not been the Lord on my side. Or you look at the news and say, that's why God had me go another way. And sometimes you get so frustrated in the mornings, but there's a reason for it. Okay. Let us pray. Lord, bless this word. I pray we will become enriched by this experience, that anyone lost will be found. Anyone disconnected will be reconnected. Anyone undecided will decide to accept you as their Lord and Savior. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, remove Janice, let the Holy Spirit come in, and let the word go forth. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. Know ye not that which run a race, it's about a race, run all but one, receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we run an uncorruptible. Furthermore, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth for air. Okay. All right, my title is Spiritual Olympics. Okay, striving for the crown. Spiritual Olympics, striving for the crown. Okay, and Paul was talking to the Corinthians. Every year they have a race, and people are striving for that crown. Well, their crown will die. It will cease. They're running for glory. They're running for the prize. They're running individually. But the crown that we're running for is eternal. Okay, they run, they train all year. It's an individual race. And they get to be the celebrities. They get the prize. They may get free taxes. Like some get to go to Disney World. That's how it's advertised. But the crown we're running for is eternal. Okay. And again, in the perishable crown, they get no tax. They get free meal. They get the glory and the praises, man's glory and praises. But we're running this race as God wants to run. We will get the praises and glory. Glory will be revealed in Christ Jesus. Every day is the Olympic race. a spiritual Olympics in Christ Jesus. We never know the day or the hour when he's coming. Therefore, we always are striving for the crown. This summer is the Summer Olympics. They started 4 years ago taking bids for it, the venue. Everybody's saying it's the process. It had to be here. But Jesus paid it all, so we didn't have to bid. We already are in the spiritual Olympics because he paid it all. The venue, heaven, that's our venue. That's our eternal life. John 9:12. But as many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Okay, my 3 points. Bronze medal. Seeking Jesus Christ, salvation, focus on faith, little faith. Silver medal, our personal coach, the word. Perseverance, great faith. Gold medal, vital judgment, letting your light shine. Homegoing, victory, and the closing ceremony. In the opening ceremonies, there's always a great parade. Hebrews, wherefore there are so many pastors to a real ceremony, a great cloud of witnesses. So I can imagine this great cloud of witnesses is Adam, Eve, Noah, Job. Noah, obedient and dry. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fire. Matthew, leaving it all behind to follow. Joseph, waiting and trusting in the Lord. Ezekiel, watching dead bones come alive. Jacob, wrestling with God. Hannah, asking for faith. David, the son of forgiveness, the joy of forgiveness. Daniel, a man of prayer. Rhoda, joy in prayer. Nehemiah, daring to believe. Thomas, from doubt to believing. Naomi, sowing the midst of suffering, in the midst of suffering, she's still praying. All right. Martha, worship as you work. Nathan, value of God's counsel. Lazarus, being raised from the dead. Think about loved ones that's going on. I think about Deacon Fletcher Carpenter. We think about moms and dads, children. These are all the mighty cloud of witnesses in that parade, the spiritual Olympics. Think about who you would include today. The children, people on your job, friends, neighbors, that you know that were witness for God. They'd be a proud part of this opening ceremonies. But wait a minute. Who would be the torchbearer? Who would be the one carrying that flame? Jesus, the light of the world. He would be the one in the front of it. It would be Jesus. John 1:9. That was the love, the true light, which gave light to every man coming into the world. Jesus would be in the front. Man's Olympics are pressing toward the mark. The spiritual Olympics is pressing toward having an eternal life. Their crown, the imperishable crown, it would be Jesus. But we have to have faith. Faithful. Whatever makes the warrior athlete makes the winning Christian. Energy, time, and perseverance. All citizens of the heavens will have grace and mercy. The race must begin with faith and end with faith. That's our race. The bronze medal. Jesus is our Savior. We have the potential to win if we invest in him. We can compete with ourselves, our flesh. We must fight our flesh. That's our mighty battle. And the race with grace be Jesus Christ. Establishing a partnership with God is so important. Seek to know the will of God for your life by asking him to reveal it to you. You have to ask him, Father God, what do you want me to do? And it is Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and of not of evil, to give you hope. Goal, to share and wear that crown. Philippians, I press toward the mark, the goal for the price of God. God will walk with us through the valley. In Ephesians, you are God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. He will never give you more than you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Knock hurdles down. And he'll knock barriers down if you just trust in him. Call upon the name of Jesus. Never becomes too hard for you. Hurdles are our adversary. He stretches us in the midst of the storm. Great is he than those things in the world that attack us. Spend your time and energy training yourself. for a spiritual Olympics. Physical exercise has some benefits, values, but spiritual exercise is much more important and a part of the promise of our reward. Personal trainers, just a prayer away, just a word away. Whatever you need, go to Concord, open it up. It's right there. We have intercessors here that pray. But you can pray for yourself, for your own personal relationship. Whatever you want, speak it into existence. Father God, heal my body, heal my soul. Father God, bring my child back to me. Father God, my house is in foreclosure, but Lord, you're going to send away. When Obama's bill was passed, they should have understood that no weapon formed against him should prosper. They have tried everything possible to defeat President Obama. But he has people around the world praying from here for him. Prayer is powerful. And they've shown the power of prayer. Father God, whatever it is that you're going through, you just call upon the name of Jesus. You study, you pray, and you act on the word. Trust in the Lord. Hear God's voice. Now, in order to hear God's voice, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to sit down and have a talk with him. Sometimes you think you're crazy, like, God, did you tell me that? God, did you really mean for you to do that? And if you have a relationship, you know it's God's voice. If you're a parent, you know your child's voice. If you're a child, you know your mother and father's voice. So therefore, there's no doubt about it. So you must make him a part of your daily life. Wake up every morning and talk with him. And sometimes just sit and listen to him. And in a small, still voice, he'll talk to you and let you know what you need to do. Each day awaken and recommit yourself to the acceptance and action. Don't be distracted by somebody else's opinion. Don't be distracted by negativity, because that's the first thing that comes into your mind. It's a brand new day, and new mercies you will see. Grace and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy follow you every day. That's in the word. When you wake up, claim your goodness and mercy, and you're covered grace and mercy. In Proverbs, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will be succeeded. Commit to the Lord. That means you wake up determined to do what you ask him to do. Okay. Strong conviction about unseen present revelations. Strong assurance that God is going to lead you and guide you. In Galatians, run race until to strength toward your goal. Okay. Faith toward what you can't see. We need that. What we hope for is in Christ Jesus. Faith, assurance, and expectation. You talk to him with faith. He gives that blessed assurance and expectation. If it's in his will, you've done what he's asked you to do, and the obedience is so important to follow it through. When you surrender to God completely, a change takes place inside of you. The outside, people see a new change in you on the outside, which starts on the inside. You have a joy when you wake up in the morning. No matter what it may look like, you say, God, this day, it's going to be good. Speak into existence. If you're at a job and you think you hate to go to work, wake up this day and give your whole job to the Lord. Pray about the situation. Claim it in the name of Jesus. You have freedom in the name of Jesus. Okay. Watchfully pray faithfully. Pray to become counted among the ones that are going to run across the race, the Olympic race. A civil medal, that's so important in the middle. Our personal relationship, the word. The word is what's going to take. Pastor always says, Sunday school, Bible study. That is so important, not just the Sunday word, but the word will strengthen us. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And that is what God is going. Each generation should have a closer walk with him. And this generation has lost it because, parents, we are guilty. We have not allowed them to really get into the word, to let them see what each generation is going to get better and better, wiser and wiser. The technology is there. It's what we do with the technology that is bad. So it gets better and better. No generation can live off faith of a previous generation. Every generation needs a faith of faith in God that you see as an action. Mom, I've seen you praying, Dad, and you didn't give up when food wasn't on the table. And well, God sent it. I've seen you pray when someone was sick. I've seen you pray when things weren't going right. I've seen you pray when you and Dad were arguing and something was going wrong. I've seen you pray when a neighbor down the street was being mean to you. I've seen you pray for the lady across the street. I've seen you pray for people on the news. And God has answered prayer. You have to be a mighty witness to the generation to believe. We're sitting here with a mighty crowd of miracles sitting next to you within your own family, within this church. And that's what we need to pass on to our generation. We're always one step away from obedience. Once you've gotten to a point, there's something that God wants us to go to. You're never finished. There's always something he's going to put in your life to go forward, to push you. And you come to church and you hear sermons such as, okay, we have pastors and ministers that give us words to go forth, to just to go and preach the word, pastor, co-pastor, all our ministers here. And you take that word back. And that was part of what they have. In order for us to grow and get to that finish line, we have to hear those words to correspond with it. And you may say to God, okay, Father God, give me strength that I might achieve. Okay. I was made weak that I might be strong. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the glory of God. So you can ask for something, but he's going to take you through it to get it. Whatever he puts you in, he gives you the victory to get out of it. The word. We have to have the word. We offer the work space. We believe that he's going to take us through the situation. Now, there are several events in the Olympics. The athletes running for that, their eternal life. The archers aiming for the cross. The goal is your aim. 99.5 won't do. Well, heaven is it. In baseball, hit a home run for Christ. Basketball, 3 points for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Boxing, a TKO. Technical knockout for Christ or 7 rounds for completion. Canoeing, paddling through the woods, or you can be fishes and men. Gymnastics, balancing daily, living for the God, living on the word, not tilting from side to side, hot or cold, because he's going to spew you out. Decide what you want to do. So you say, God, let me balance this today. Give you a word that's going to take me where I want to go. Swimming, beware of backsliding. Gary in deep water, high diving for Christ. Oh, Lord, forgive me, God. I'm going to repent. But be sure that you're truly repenting, not just sorry. But you're going to go deeper and deeper. But we have to pray and grow deeper and deeper in Christ, not deeper and deeper in our sin. Synchronized swimming on one accord. Intercessory prayer. Synchronized means the same. When you come here to worship in spirit, adding truth. Come in here believing. Come here asking God and praying about your neighbor. Synchronize. Where two or three are gathered in his name in one accord, the righteous avail of much. The power of prayer is not about how many. It's about your prayer, your faithfulness, the word that's growing in you. Boxing. You know your arms are too short to box with God. So, Father God, I'm going to give this to you. If you tell me to do something, please be obedient. Have you seen you? Say, Lord, tell you to do something. You say, I know a better way. You take that shortcut. Then you come back, and you're doing twice as much because you didn't do it the first time. And you're sparring, you're jumping. Oh, Lord, I don't feel like going to church tonight. Then later you say, I'm going to go shopping. You get out, and your car won't start. Oh, boy. You're playing with me. But he's a forgiving God and a loving God. Volleyball. Back and forth with Christ. Here Sunday, going next Sunday. I don't go to church on during the summertime. Fifth Sundays are my Sundays, extra Sunday. I can't go to Bible study tonight because my favorite show is coming on. And we won't be out in time. Oh, and I don't like her anyway. I don't like him, so I'm not going. I don't like that sponsor. But God knows all of us. You're volleying back and forth. Suppose God did it to us. We wake up. I'm not going to bless Mr. Voorhees this morning. But last night she went to bed and didn't even say a prayer. So I'm going to make her hop out of bed and just crawl to get her breakfast. But thank you, he's a forgiving God and a loving God. He will forgive us. Sometimes you say, Lord, I'm too tired. Have you ever started to pray and all of a sudden you doze off and you're sleeping? And you wake up in the middle of the night, you can still pray. Grab that prayer. But that's praying back and forth. Weightlifting. Allow God to bear your burden.
That's all right.
No matter how heavy it is, He will let you rise above it. No matter how many weights are put on you, you just pray, He'll balance it out for you. No matter how difficult it may be. They talk about being able to lift 500 pounds. Our God made everything. So whatever it is, He can lift it off your shoulder and lift it way up above your head. If you just call and believe upon His word. Fencing. Fighting life's battles. Day to day, we are more than conquerors. We wake up with that armor on, that protective armor. We already have it, but we don't call upon it. He gave it to us when the Holy Spirit came in, when we accepted Him. So whatever it is, you're able to duck and dodge and fight it and just take your sword and just hit it right in the heart. You have your weapons. Believe it. Carry it. You already are Olympian. You already have the war. You already have your bronze medal. Once you accept it, you have your bronze. So you go ahead. Then along the way, He has intercessors. People you can call upon to pray for you. You have your pastors, your ministers. We have all the ministries here in the church. Each one does something different. But are we doing it for God's glory?
Well,
or are we doing it for man? There's so many ministries here. I just praise the Lord. Every day we're said to pray for those ministries. We pray that flesh does not rise up in it. We pray that strife does not rise in it. We pray for one another's families. We pray for their strength. And we pray for the church. The church is not run by itself. We pray about the maintenance. All the people in the background. All the unknown soldiers. That's our coaches along the way. But first of all, if the coaches aren't prayed up, we're not going to be blessed. So we pray for our coaches to be blessed and know the Lord. Wrestling with God is something else. You can't sleep. You have a guilt trip. Have you ever done something you knew was wrong? Oh, Lord, I knew I shouldn't have done that. And then it turns out the way you do it shouldn't be. But thankfully, He's a forgiving God who allows us to go back and retrace our steps and redo it. Let us run with our eyes focused on that crown, on the cross. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That's our slogan. He is the author. What does the author do but write? He wrote His book. And if we accept, He has written on our hearts what He wants us to do. So we just press toward the mark. Records are broken at the Olympics. Faith, each generation is going to go higher and higher. We sit here and look at our youth. We thank and praise God. How their faith just started to march across that line. How that prayer line is just rolling. How they're going out into the world. Because the world is not going to come to us. So look at it. Look at our young adults. Olympians, spiritual Olympians. Fired up for God. That's an inspiration to us. That He is working in this place. The little ones. Praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. We laugh. But they're mighty warriors than what we are. They will praise the Lord. That the gold medal is the final judgment. When He brings you out of it. You're supposed to come forth as pure gold. Do you have a brightness? Do you shine and people say there's something special about you? There's a glow about you. There's a light about you. There's a peace about you. Are people drawn to you? Do you know how to be compassionate? To be an intercessor, give an encouraging word. Parents, are we encouraging our children? They may have some funny dreams, some weird dreams. But we ask the Lord to bless it. Speaking to this, and Father God, just cover my child. Bless them and whatever they do. If it's dangerous, Lord, the blood, He will turn around. You don't look like what you've been through. Look at us. The song plays. You don't look like what you've been through because His glory is revealed. Jesus is an awesome torch bearer in the front of the line. Are you going to be able to get into that Special Olympians line? Jesus said, do not let your be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. So we know that we're looking forth. There's plenty of good room. There's no overcrowding. You don't need to get a hotel or anything. Just join up with Jesus and follow and run toward the mark. Believers will be blessed. Just speak his name. He says faith and obedience is what he's looking for. The crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:24. Pastor's crown, given by the chief shepherd for the faithful minister who preaches the word and the message that Jesus shed his blood. So around here we have some chief shepherds who are coaching us. Give us the word to go forth, to ministers that we know. And we have to be led. But we have to want to be led. And we have to be obedient. A crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and in Philippians. There's also a soul winner's crown. Yeah. Every believer was not called to preach, but to win others to Christ. Each and every one of us get that goal, soul winner's crown. We're supposed to study and go out and tell people about this man named Jesus. Have you told anybody what he did for you this morning? He woke you up, brought you safely to church. He's blessed your family. We're praying for ones in the hospital. We've seen the sick. You've prayed for a job. You've prayed for air. They're going to take your house, but the prayers of the righteous avail much. A crown of righteousness is also. We love him and work for the second coming, being obedient to the word and being petitioning him. If you want something, say exactly what you want. Father God, I ask you to bless my home with peace and love and joy. I ask you to take away the bitterness I may have or my angry temper. Sometimes we have to examine ourselves first. Are we walking with God? Look at the situation. Take our responsibility for it. And ask God to just do what he needs to do in someone else's life. The first thing was something to have flesh rising up. But then let's stop and think a while. Lord, how should I handle this situation? Should I be quiet? Or Holy Spirit, tell me what to say and how to say it. And if you just do that, if we just think about that. A lot of us are sitting here, we're burdened down right now. Lord, there's so much going on in my life. And God knows about it. And he's waiting for us to call on him. Father God, what can I do? What can I say? But do we sit still long enough for him to speak to us, to tell us what to do and how to go about doing it? Just think about it. When you get back home, now pray, Lord, make my house better than what it was before I left. Does a change have to take place in you or in them? The test is in the situation. It's not in your situation. It is. Are you going to ask me how to change it? Are you going to wait on me to change it? And sometimes we have to wait. Wait for our crown. Because everybody is not in the right place. It's like a relay race.
Well,
you have to hand it off. But who are you handing it off to? Are you in the right place for your relay? Are you in the right place for that word to be passed to you? Are you in the right place to receive the baton? Are you in the right place to get what he has for you?
My God.
We have to stop and think, Lord, am I in your will? Am I following your word? Am I ready to get that crown? Sometimes I'm not ready to receive it. There will be glory after this. When I heard that song, and you've been sitting around and one day something was happening. You said, Lord, will I ever get through this?
My God.
It may be the next paragraph. It may be the next dot. It may be the next second. And all of a sudden, the impossible becomes possible. And you say, Lord, there's glory after this. And every time you've overcome one obstacle in this hurdle of life, there's another one on the way. And you have to think about, God, you brought me through before. I know you're going to bring me through again. Oh, Father God, you never failed me yet. And people are watching your reaction. You say your God is this, your God is that. Why are you moping around? No, my God is an awesome God.
Well,
and his glory is revealed. You know, I don't look like what I've been through. He brought you through. Your worship has to be for real. And the things that are most difficult are the things that cause us trouble. I had to struggle to get to church today, you might say. Lord, It took me a while to get it. I couldn't find a parking space. The sun is, but I'm going to church today. And that's when he tests our obedience to him, our love of him. What did you have to go through to get here? What race did you have to run to get here? Who did you have to pick up? Who did you have to drop off? Who do you have to give an encouraging word to? So we thank him for the race he allows us to run, because that's how we get our golden crown. And it's because he died on the cross that we can do this. But just think about what he went through.
Well,
think about how he got spit on. You know, people ostracized him, family, friends. And he was innocent. So when we get people talk about us, that's part of our crown. When people do us unfair, that's part of our crown. When we're on the job and somebody else gets a promotion, it's part of our crown. But we have favor in something better. Sometimes he calls us to leave our family and go someplace else. And it says, lead not to our own understanding, because he's seen that entire picture. That's part of our race to get the crown. Oh, and he says, come out and worship. Fellowship is just so important. You can't stay home and fellowship. You can't stay at home with the TV evangelist. Because what they say, oh, there's somebody in the audience that needs healing. There's always somebody in the audience that needs healing. Oh, there's somebody who needs money. Hallelujah. There's always somebody that needs money. There's somebody who's looking for a husband. Hallelujah. There's always somebody looking for a husband. So you have to think to yourself, that's no big revelation. I mean, Oh, you at home, I know there's somebody by the TV. Touch the TV. And I know you need a house. Ta-da, no kidding. I mean, but if you think about it, that's not a prophecy. That's a part of life. And people just sending money in. If you take that money, and if you don't go, if God said, if you tithe, he's going to multiply that money. You will get your house. You will get whatever you need. And you look at these people on TV, yeah, so-and-so said this. And then what happens, when the minister gets in trouble on TV, that's why I don't go to church. Because they're not but a bunch of crooks. And they're taking everybody's money. But if you went to church every Sunday and read your word, it says there are going to be people that are false prophets. There are people going to feast the flock. So common sense will tell you, money is the root of all evil, the love of money. Now, you know, some people get money and all of a sudden they start acting funny. But they don't know what to do with the money. If you pray and you ask the Lord, he'll tell you how to give it away and to use it wisely. But you ever notice that the same people get money all the time, they throw it away, and they get rid of it so fast. And you think, Lord, just send me a little blessing. But just a little bit, Lord, I don't know what to do with it. Pastors always talk about stewardship. But stewardship not just of money, but of our lives.
Amen.
What better steward can we be to walk around in front of our friends and family and let them see that torch that we're carrying, that light shining, that glorifies Jesus Christ? No matter what you're going through, you wake up with joy in the morning.
Well,
because you know that goodness and mercy is following you. You wake up with joy knowing that what he has brought you through. You wake up with joy knowing that my family's okay. My job is okay. My house is intact. My God is an awesome God. And sometimes you may say, Lord, why am I going through this? And he said, because I trust you to carry that torch. I trust you to be that light. I trust you to be the messenger that people are looking at. What kind of message are you sending to someone today? That he is the light of your life? That he is our shepherd? That he is my keeper of my soul? He is my wheel in the middle of the wheel?
Well,
he is forgiving when I don't forgive myself? He is the lover of my soul? He is the solid rock on which I stand. Jesus is still running with that torch. Are you ready to get the bronze crown, the silver, or the gold crown? That gold crown is rough to get. It's tough to get. Because there's so many things. We have to love people like he loved us. We have to stand when the wind is blowing.
Well,
I think about Peter in the water. And he told Peter, step out in the water. As long as Peter kept his eyes on God, he was okay. But when he takes his eyes off, he was not. So what we have to, no matter what that water may look like, that storm waving, we got to keep our eyes on that cross. And if we look up, we won't falter. I think about, was it 3 weeks ago? The man was walking the high wire. And the first thing he said, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. He walked across and he prayed the whole time. TV said nothing about the man's prayer. Said nothing about God taking across all the expanse of water. That was enough for anybody to be a witness. And when he kept saying, Jesus, Father God, thank you for allowing me to do this thing. If you have a goal in life, purpose it in your heart.
Well,
and ask God to direct your path. But ask him to be fair about it. Sometimes there are going to be things that come in our path. That's just a test of our faith. If God gave us something right away, we really go to him and say, Father God. No, we just, oh God, I want this today. He gave us right, okay, I want this tomorrow. But think of what God has given that you haven't even asked him for. He's given us life. He's given us breath. He's given us eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
We didn't ask him for that. He came and gave it to us.
Thank you.
We paid nothing for
it.
So we have to let our light shine. We have to let our light shine in the darkness. That's the real test. I think about people, and you're in your house and lights go out. That's fine. You know your house. But don't go visit somebody you're in the darkness and you're stumbling here and stumbling there. So think about when we wake up every day, we're in that marvelous light.
Thank you, Lord.
So when he brings some darkness into your life, ask him to lead you and guide you. Ask him to take you over those hurdles. Ask him to let you leap off that diving board. Ask him to let you just palm it back and forth, whatever you have to do, because everything belongs to him. So he knows how much we can take. He knows how much we can bear. And it says, you believe, he can say, move that mountain will move. But you've got to have that faith. Think about children, young adults. Think about a mountain you've had. It may have been in school. Little ones may say, my mommy won't let me do this and do that. But if you think about that mountain and how he allowed you to climb that mountain, and your mom and dad were still there at the same viewpoint, but he blessed you later on to understand why they did not allow you to do things. And as followers of God, there's certain things he won't allow us to do because he knows better.
Amen.
But we're going to test him. That's the test. But in order to be a spiritual Olympian, we must press toward the mark of the high call of God. And we get there, we'll be able to get that crown. That crown that will not perish, that will not dry out, that crown that will not rust away, but be eternal. So we have to have faith, we have to purpose and be obedient and just run that race. To be a part of spiritual Olympics, first of all, you have to accept the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And get that salvation. Then get that Holy Spirit and put it on and wear it. And the armor. And whatever he has for us to do. First of all, we have to go out and let people know about this man named Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Who died for us. Who every day is there for us. He's waiting for us to call on him. No matter what your pain is, call upon the name of Jesus. No matter what your worry is, call upon the name of Jesus. To be a spiritual Olympian. Once you accept him, you have the bronze. So you can sprinkle towards the silver by studying his word, by being faithful, by being obedient. Who have you blessed today? Who have you encouraged today? Who have you inspired today? You are a very special person, but you know just to one person you may be the key they need for Jesus Christ.
My God.
Ask him to lead you and guide you. Turn to his word, study his word. And sometimes just be still. He'll talk to you if you have that relationship. The voice will come to you and say, in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight, you should be able to say. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all that who have longed for his, for, for his appearing. So if you pray and you ask him to bring you back, he will do that. He will bless you because he hung on that cross. He was buried, died, and resurrected so that you can be a part of spiritual Olympics, that you can get your golden crown. And we've had the word preached here that let us know that we can get the soul winner's crown, the crown of righteousness. The word is what's going to keep us. It's going to take you. You don't have to spend 4 years, wait 4 years. Today is the day you can get your spiritual Olympics.
Well,
today is the day you can go from bronze to silver. Hold it. I don't think you want to go to gold yet. To completely get your gold, to be perfected, you have to die and have a place in glory with God Almighty. What a righteous God. What an awesome God. And we've had sermons preached here. I remember one about why I'm going to stay here and die. Get to moving. We're under prayer, you know. Lord, you trust me with this. How mighty we are. You just believe in him. How many want that golden crown? Okay, some of us have not gotten to bronze point yet. We were born and can be allowed to have that bronze crown because he knew before we were born what we needed to be. So some need to come and just get the bronze crown. Some of us are right here working on the silver, just pressing toward the mark. And our goal is to be eternal with him. He came. He is here to give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. So if you want to get the Olympic crown for spirituality, it's having that relationship with him. Let him get into your spirit, your heart. Your heart's going to change. Soften that heart. Be a forgiver. Ask him to help you forgive. Not forget, but forgive. And if you press toward that mark, you'll be a part of spiritual Olympics. I ask you right now, is there anybody who wants to be a part of that bronze crown? To step into salvation because it's free. To come into the arms, that circle. To become a part of that relay. That mighty cloud of witnesses. So when the ceremony is over, you'll be in that crowd that's going to glory. To go meet the ones that's going on before. We're working to be a part of that crowd. We're following that torch around. When they carry the Olympic torch, they carry it from city to city. Let it shine. So when you go to work, wherever you are, carry your torch. Let it shine. So you can join Jesus with leading that parade. Let your light so shine that souls can be saved. That people will rejoice. That people have hope. A steadfast hope in Jesus Christ. Is your light shining so that someone can be a part of the spiritual Olympics? That someone can grab your hand as you're going toward the goal? That someone will say, you were out there. I didn't read the Bible, but I read you. I read your faith. I read your compassion. I read your love. I'm ready to get in that race. I'm ready to go where you're going. Because there's just so peace in you. There's so much love. There's so much obedience. But most of all, the faith of a mustard seed. No matter what it may look like, you're following Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So if there's anyone here who's ready to be a part of the spiritual Olympics, and you're outside, you may have backslid, the invitation is open. You can come and join him. Salvation. Maintain your salvation. Just come forward. And spiritual, it's so important. The bronze medal, silver, or gold. Jesus is the one carrying the torch. He is the light of the world. He is the forgiving God, the love. You're never too dirty. You're never too slow. You can't be eliminated because you can't run fast. Or you can't jump the hurdle. He will allow you to jump any hurdles in life that you may have. He will allow you to overcome the frustrations in life you may have. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the torch. He's the leader of your spiritual Olympics. He is your all in all. He loves you more than what you love yourself. He's a forgiving God, a loving God. He's an answering God. Just have a relationship with him. Start it today. Start your way onto the Olympics. And I guarantee you, your goal will be the gold crown if you follow his word. God bless you. Amen.